Hey, this is Matt Hawkins, and you're listening to the Top Cow Chronology Project.
All right, welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Presents the Top Cow Chronology Project. I'm your host, Jace, here with Jaden.
Hey.
And Manny.
Hello.
In this episode, we're going to be talking about Tomb Raider Journeys, Issue 1. This book was put out by Top Cow, January 2001. It was written by Fiona Kai Avery. And those of you that have been following along with the Top Cow Chronology Project will remember she was the writer on the Witchblade Okabamano graphic novel. Penciler on this issue was Drew Johnson, inker Jay Leistein, colors by Jonathan D. Smith. For me personally, the best thing about this book was the cover, that amazing cover by Adam Hughes. I mean, I had to look at it several times because it looked like, I mean, I'm looking at it as, I mean, you can kind of see it in her eyes and the hair that it's an illustration. But if you just look from the neck down, that looks like an illustration.
I mean, a picture?
A picture. Yeah, a photograph. Like the shine on the leather, the hand, the gloves. I mean, man, what a great job. What an amazing, amazing job by Adam Hughes. How about you guys? Did you like it?
Yeah, I saw it and I immediately thought, wow, I wonder if that's Adam Hughes. And surely enough, when I looked at the bottom of the page and I saw his AH with the exclamation point, I was like, oh, yeah, it is. And it's a really good cover. I like it.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Adam Hughes myself. And, yeah, once I saw it, it was pretty obvious to me who it was. Just good stuff.
What about the book itself?
I liked it. I thought it was interesting. My first thoughts were, how the heck is this next in the story? I don't understand, but then I had that answered for me.
Manny, what about you?
I liked it. The pirates were kind of weird, but, you know, it was good.
I didn't necessarily care for it that much. I'm not a big fan of time travel stories that are done in this way. It wasn't necessarily time travel. They kind of explained how it happened. But to me, Tomb Raider isn't, you know, it's supposed to be more grounded in reality. Like, you know, not that she would ever be able to do the flips and whatever and all that stuff that she does, but it just doesn't necessarily lend itself to fantasy or superheroics. Like, you know, I would expect in some other books. I expect this book to be a little more grounded in reality. And so it didn't really sit that well with me. I didn't necessarily care for the premise. But it was okay. I also didn't think there was that much to the story. It was a pretty quick read. So
I don't know. I guess it caught me off guard that they went that way on issue one. And then also it felt like a cheap Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man Chest story. Like, they just took things from there and kind of put it into Laura Croft, although I'm pretty sure this book was written before then. But that's the kind of feeling I got, so it was a pretty typical pirate story.
Yep.
You know, like, we'll get to all that in the synopsis when you recap the book, but not what I'm used to seeing Laura Croft in, so it was a little weird. I guess that's why.
Yeah, I agree. All right, let's talk a little bit about the story. It starts off, Laura's in a one-man sailing vessel. She apparently is heading down to Peru. She wants to search for the fabled city of El Dorado, city of gold. She hits a wall of fog around 2200 hours, but she wasn't worried. She was well off the coastline, deep waters. She's navigated by instruments before. So she's dozing along, and all of a sudden, there's this old sailing vessel, this old ship, flying a Jolly Roger, and they haul her down. Show yourself, or you shall suffer a mighty wrath. She says, what the bloody hell? Stand down, woman. Where's the rest of your crew? She says, I'm the only crew. Who are you? She says, they say that this is Kagan's revenge of the Bonnie Raider. The man replies, this is Kagan's revenge of the Bonnie Raider. We've come for your loot, your food, and your sails. So basically, they're pirates. They say, will you stand down? She says, sure, if you can explain yourself. The pirates come aboard. It's pretty obvious they've never seen the like of modern sails or food that's in cans. And they've certainly never seen guns like the one Laura, the ones Laura draws and fires on them. They beat a hasty retreat back to their ship and their captain. And they say that it's a dangerous buccaneer lady on the ship. And one of them says, forget the loot, let's just blow her out of the water. What good is she to us anyway? Another one says, but we really need to get those devil guns. The captain says, why would you waste an opportunity to invite one so skilled to chase the fine warriors with us? And so he takes a trip over himself and invites Laura to join them. And Laura basically doesn't have much choice, because if she doesn't join them, they're going to take everything from her, including her sails and her food, and leave her stranded there. So she goes ahead and joins them, and they tow her ship and hoist their sails, and they're off. And it's not too long before they spot another ship, and apparently it's the Dora del Sol, which is a Spanish ship, means gold of the sun. It's a Spanish galleon, and it apparently is returning from the New World with gold from the city of El Dorado. So they say that that ship, their ship, the pirate ship, is faster and more heavily manned and armored, but unfortunately the Spanish galleon was armed and ready for them. And they fire upon the pirate ship. The pirate ship, meanwhile, is against the current and can't catch any of the wind. And is being fired upon heavily. Looks like it's going to sink. And then on the next page, we see Laura awakens in the captain's cabin. And she doesn't understand what's going on. She's like, it's not possible. Something's wrong here. You know, she's now wearing pirate clothing. And events start to repeat themselves. Once again, they spot the Spanish galleon, and the captain starts yelling the exact same orders. Laura says, no, belay that order, and tells the captain what he was just about to say. And so, by telling the captain what he was just about to say, Laura is able to convince him to allow her to take over, and she comes up with a plan to tie a bunch of their cargo up in a net and throw it overboard, but attached to the vessel so that it looks like they're having trouble, going very slow and listing. And they also take down their pirate flag. This allows the this causes the other Spanish vessel to believe that they're just a normal ship that's in trouble, and they are able to come up right alongside the Spanish ship, and they're able to defeat the Spanish ship pretty easily and take the gold that they found from El Dorado. So what Laura apparently knew was that there was a curse called the Curse of the Flying Dutchman. If you die searching, apparently if you died searching for this one particular ship, you were doomed to repeat your failure as a ghost forever, haunting the seas. So that basically explains why, even in these modern times, There's this ancient pirate ship still there. What it doesn't necessarily explain is why the Spanish ship kept showing up, because they certainly didn't fail. But what we do know is that Laura, by changing the actions of the pirates, causes the curse to be broken, and the ship basically fades away into nothing, and Laura falls into the water, still wearing pirate clothes. Her ship's nowhere to be found, but she does find a piece of the Bonnie Raider, a little log that she gets to float on. Apparently she's pretty close to land. And she also was able to take with her a coin from El Dorado, the fabled city. So she knows that as she heads to Peru, the city does exist. She still has the coin, and she's going to go in search of it. So, yeah, kind of a lot of plot holes. Certainly not a realistic type story. And like I said, I wasn't a fan. I mean, it was explained why she was able to encounter these pirates that should have been long dead with this Curse of the Flying Dutchman. But I don't know. It just seemed kind of lame to me.
I don't know. I kind of enjoyed it. A lot of people don't think of Lara Croft as more of a fantasy character, but a lot of the tombs that she's in, if they want to make the tombs like realistic and, well, not realistic, but make sense, they have a lot of supernatural feels to them. Like in the most recent Super Mario game, there was a lot of supernatural things going on.
Also, the dialogue, I guess it's okay that they didn't, you know, our matey kind of talk, you know?
Yeah.
Because that kind of dialogue, when it's done badly, really pulls you out of the story. But, I mean, these guys spoke modern-day English, so I guess I'll take that over bad dialogue.
Yeah, at least they're not trying to be that.
But it didn't, you know, set the mood very well. What'd you guys think about the art?
I didn't have any problems with it.
What about you,
okay,
man?
It's all right. Nothing really caught my attention, but also just it was kind of generic, I guess is the word I want to use.
Yeah, you know, usually Drew Edward Johnson's stuff is really clean and tight, and I like it a lot. I don't know if this is because of the inker he had on this book, Lystein, or if it's just because it was earlier on in his career. The lines just and rendering just isn't quite as clean. The layouts are very, very well done, and the storytelling from panel to panel is also very good. But yeah, I just felt that the rendering just lacked something.
Yeah, I can see that.
I'd be very interested to see the original pencils for this and see if I liked it better.
You know, what I really didn't like was the last panel, how she just kind of like, I don't know, something about it, just her being like super happy and close to the island and looking at it, I don't know, it just was weird.
Yeah, I agree. Pretty muted colors too, but I guess it kind of suited the story.
Yeah,
that was kind of weird too. Like the ship disappears and she's, you know, hanging on this log. She's not at all worried. You know, her ship. You know, who knows where her ship is? She's like, whatever. Go find this gold.
Well, just, I mean, you know, kind of it is kind of like, it's trying to show her in more of a later in her Tomb Raiding career, I think, so she's kind of experienced. And she ended up with that gold doubloon that's supposedly to El Dorado. And
yeah.
Now, like, I mean, I do understand that she has no idea if she's going to make it or not, but there's that island right there, and I don't know, I guess she shouldn't be this happy about it, but I could see how she's kind of cocky because she now has kind of a clue towards
proof.
El Dorado.
Yeah, I could see that. But, I don't know, I just, like I said, I mean, normally I love Drew Edward Johnson's art. I have a sketch from him in my sketchbook, A Big Barda. So, you know, those lines, that's super clean and great, you know, great rendering, great, you know, good layout. like I said, the layouts are fine. It just, I don't know. I don't know if it's the inks or, like I said, if it's just him, you know, starting off. Because I actually think, as much as I didn't like the story, I think I like the art even less. So.
I feel like the backgrounds are really flat and not, there's nothing real to them.
Yeah. Yeah, what little background there is a lot of times.
Well, they are in the middle of the ocean, but I think that's also, they put in the moon every now and then, but.
Yeah, and some clouds.
Fog or whatever.
Yeah. But definitely not, I was looking forward to these Tomb Raider issues, and they're kind of off to kind of a rough start here.
Yeah.
I mean, I greatly enjoyed Fiona Kai Avery's Witchblade Okabamano. I thought that was incredibly well done. So this story left me a little cold. So maybe I was expecting a little too much. Yeah. Which I don't think either. I mean, neither one of you guys joined me for Okabamano. Did either of you read it?
No.
No, I didn't read it either.
Yeah, it was pretty long. So, all right. Well, join us next time. We'll be talking about Tomb Raider Journeys issue 2. Hopefully, it'll be an improvement over this one. If you want to follow along with us, you can go to our website, thecomicsourceblog.com. Go to the podcast page. Click on the Comic Vine logo. It'll take you to the chronology. That'll let you know what we are going to be covering next. Tomb Raider Journeys, as I mentioned before, Top Cow no longer has the license to Tomb Raider, so they can't reprint these books. I don't think Tomb Raider Journeys was ever collected in a trade paperback anyway, but I do know you can find the issues on eBay relatively cheaply. And even though I didn't care much for the story or the finished art in this book, I would buy this book just for that Adam Hughes cover alone. I mean,
cover B.
Yeah, and a lot of the Top Cow, I think just about every issue of this Tomb Raider Journey series has an alternate cover by Adam Hughes. And, you know, a lot of his alternate covers, like the Harley Quinn straitjacket cover, go for $1,500. These ones you can find on eBay for like $2 or $3. So
I could have had it for 30.
So do yourself a favor and go pick them up. Once again, we want to thank everyone for joining us.